Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
There was a man who took a stand with pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun, he sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
Welcome to another edition of the Chicago Way, Radio Free Chicago in podcast form. We are broadcasting to you from behind the corruption curtain of Illinois. So my name is John Cass. I write a column for the Chicago Tribune. Jeff Carlin, the executive producer of WGN's Rokan show with Anna DeVolantis, is on with me as always. And with us in the studio today, my former leg man who now flies free, William Lee, old school. Good morning, dude.
Hello. How's everybody doing?
We're good. We're all good. Well, not really. We're not really good because I lost a friend this week, and the Chicago Tribune lost a great champion, Jack Fuller, our former editor and publisher, Pulitzer Prize recipient, and a great fisherman passed this week. And I didn't want to write a column. I told Bruce Dold, I said, man, you know, I don't take days off. You know, it says John Cass takes the day off, and you know, I hardly ever see that with my column, something that Willie used to bug me about. You know, he'd say, take a day once in a while. I just can't. And I went up to Bruce and I said, I really don't feel like working. And he was upset, too. Bruce Dold is our editor and publisher friend and was very close to Jack Fuller. But Bruce said, sometimes when you're feeling passionate about something, sometimes it's a good time to try to write something. He said, just see what happens. So I did. He was right. Bruce is right. Makes him a good editor. He knows how to read his writers. And also what makes him a good editor is that as a columnist, I trust the man. And you have to have that. And so a column came out about how I'm going to go fishing in a river up north, one that Jack taught me how to fish on. And I'll say his name in a prayer. And it was not a good day. Anne Marie Lipinski, another friend of ours, probably the closest one of all of us to Jack, called me in the morning past. He had cancer. Two ways to go, right? Fast or slow. So anyway, I wrote that column, and then in the middle of writing it, Jeff Carlin and William Lee, I took my usual break for some fresh air. I go downstairs, and there's two guys, kind of like workmen, but rather like workmen bureaucrats with clipboards and pens and so forth. And they said, where's the cafeteria? They didn't look like they were hungry. They just wanted to see it. So I said, yeah, okay, it's down there. Go to, you know, walk down the hall to your right. So they went into the cafeteria, and they came out, and I'm waiting in the elevator, and one guy said, you're John Cass, right? And I said, yeah, I am. And he said, oh, yeah, well, thank you, and I like your column, whatever. And then he said, we're just here to do a safety survey. And I said, what? And he goes, a safety survey. And I said, in other words, you're scoping the place out because it's being sold. And he started laughing because it was right. And so after I finished the column, what do I read in the paper, in the Chicago Tribune, world's greatest newspaper, that they're selling this building that the Chicago Tribune newspaper built?
What's it going to be?
What, condos and steakhouses?
Probably a hotel.
A hotel?
That's just what Chicago needs more of, condos and steakhouses, hotels and downtown.
I told those guys, I said, well, if you can do me a favor, turn my office into the oyster shucking station. But, I mean, it's just like typical, right? Jack dies, and then I see these guys measuring my, they're like the peasant ladies from Zorba the Greek who are just going in there to steal from the woman when she's dead.
Right.
I mean, come on. What is going on? Where are we going to go? I can't ask you, Jeff, because you're on the evil side of the company, right?
I'm on the tronkless side.
You're on the side of less tronk, more. You're on the side of the company that basically kicked the Tribune out and gave us all the debt of the company and then took all the assets.
Pretty much.
Right? And we're on the side of the former Tribune that has all the debt and few assets.
We're the content manager.
Is that what we are?
Yeah. We provide content.
So what are they going to do to this building?
Well, you know, I mean, from what I see every time we see these tourists who are walking by and marveling at all the stones that are in the building. And they're like, oh, wouldn't it be great to stay inside of this place or walk inside?
Yes, here's the stone from the Holy Sepulchre.
Right.
I could have my, like, what? Your
selfie.
You take a selfie?
Yeah.
And maybe have a potted palm right next to it?
No, you take a selfie with yourself and your little dog, and you're holding up your little tiny...
Oh, you hold your dog next to the sacred stones. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Why not?
Instagram it.
Instagram. That's yeah. Big. And I'll have a ham and cheese croissant while I'm standing next to the cave, next to the stone from the nativity.
Right on.
Right?
Right. In downtown Chicago.
There
why
you
not?
Go. All right. So, not a depressing... It's kind of a depressing day. Sorry, everybody. But you know what? It's... Okay. And then I get up to come to work today. I don't feel like writing anything, but I'm going to write something because there's always something stupid to write about, and I need something stupid to write about today. And I took pictures of my garden, which is they're perfect, Jeff.
It looks amazing.
It looks so good now. I sweep it every morning. Yes, I sweep my garden because I have landscape fabric. I sweep it.
Every peasant does.
Yes, we all do. I've got my cucumbers growing up, nine cucumbers growing up, trellises and a fence. Perfect. The tomatoes, perfect, all staked, and the suckers taken off. The basil growing, the onions growing, everything just so. And now a hailstorm is coming.
Yep.
To say the least.
Yeah.
What do you do, Mr. Green Jeans?
Start praying. Far from it. I pray. I don't know. I have no idea, John.
These are pellets of ice flung down from the heavens to destroy my garden that I worked so hard to deal with. And you know what? William Lee has no bleeping idea what I'm saying because he's an apartment dweller. He doesn't even cook.
Hey, I know about these. I cook. I know about things. I go to Whole Foods. I know what vegetables
he's
look
so
like.
Urban.
I know what they
you
look
don't
like.
Know, man.
That's awesome. Well, John, maybe we'll have to have the tomato doctor on to help you repair your garden.
Yeah, maybe he could come over and stitch them.
Yes, exactly.
Back to life.
Emergency visit.
So what else do you guys like? This is like a show where, a podcast where we're actually letting listeners in on what actually happens among journalists and producers.
Yep.
This is what we do. We sit around, we're like, what do you like for this? What do you like for that?
Yeah.
What do you like?
This is my favorite phrase of pre-show meetings or pre-show phone calls. Sometimes it often happens in my case. But, hey, did you see this? I mean, that's the stories that always gets me. But, hey, did you see this? See that Starbucks is getting sued? Again, for putting
too much ice.
No, I saw that. No,
hot lattes. Lattes are not enough. They're putting in. Apparently, they're trying to save money on milk, so they're putting in more liquid versus milk and lattes. And so,
what other liquid is there? There's milk and there's espresso.
Right. Exactly. Mm. So they're putting apparently more
water.
Espresso water.
Right.
And they're not. They're trying to save money on milk.
Yeah.
Allegedly. I mean, I don't know.
Who's behind this lawsuit? Pete's Coffee. Right?
That's funny.
Where do you go? Do you go to Pete's or do you go to...
I don't know. I there's a machine.
You don't drink
here.
Coffee.
I cold brew stuff at home. Like, I'll take and grind it and steep it overnight, and it's cold, so it's real sweet. It's
you
not
cold brew.
That sounds work intense, man.
Really? What's going
on? It is. Right? It's not that bad. It takes probably about a half hour all told from the time, like the 10 minutes to set it up, and then probably the 10 minutes to strain it.
I don't know, man. You make your own preserves, too? Is that what's going on?
I would if I could. Every time I've tried it, I might have, like, bust a glass in my...
You got the Muttley left now. Yeah. That's good.
No, cold brew.
Make your own preserves.
It's delicious.
Yeah.
It's,
really?
Yeah.
It sounds a little... I don't know what the word is now.
It is Pride Week, so be careful, John.
No, it's nothing to do with
kidding.
That.
I know.
I don't care. You can have all the gender issues you want with your coffee. The issue is your time, man.
Oh, but it's relaxing.
Will's
it's,
right.
It's all science. So you scale, you weigh it out, you grind it, you know, everything's measured. A time where I can decompress when I get home from work.
That's your so you decompress over a series of mechanical precision-like moves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. Like pies. Like in the winter when it's cold, I'll make a pie. Because it's all balanced. You got to have it's all recipe. So you got to have everything weighed out right. You got to work the dough, and you got to make sure everything's balanced. And then you got to precision to cut things out and measure. And
this is like bizarro world.
We're taking a very deep look into Jeff's.
This I love this because you know why? Well, we've talked about me all the time. It's me. Cast. And you, we've talked about you occasionally when you've been on. Like, hi, Will, how are you? How's Game of Thrones or Which who got killed or something? But for Jeff, we don't know the inner Jeffrey. So that's right. You are a pie. What is a pie maker? Is it a pie craft? Artisanal pies?
I think just baker works. I think I'm a home baker. No, I like the precision, and I like the idea that if you get as close to perfect and balance of everything, you get a perfect pie, and then you can deviate a little and see where it goes. But you know, once you get routine down and you're good at it, then you can lower being different.
Savory pies or sweet pies?
I've done a couple of savory pies. Yeah, I did like deep dish pizzas, which I consider a pie because I do it in the same dish, so it'll be the same thing. Work the dough and that process, but mostly sweet pies. I enjoy making. I do a great bourbon pie.
Yes, ooh. I've had your pie.
You've had my bourbon. Wow,
I've had his bourbon pie. He is quite the pie maker.
Well, I tell you, next time you have some type of major life decision to make, make me a lemon meringue, and I'll step by.
Have you ever made those?
I have made them. I haven't made a lemon meringue specifically, but I made it was a chocolate meringue.
So you have made the meringue.
Yeah, meringue's fun.
Now the crust. Okay, let me ask you this because I'm a man of interest.
Sure.
The crust needs water to work, right?
Yeah.
Liquid,
yeah.
But liquid often with wheat creates gluten that make the crust a little tough. And I've seen it talked about that vodka.
Absolutely.
Is this true?
Absolutely. I always use vodka. So most recipes will call for water, right? They'll say it depends on what it is, but what you're making, you know, 4 cups of water for your dough total. Always, always, always. One, chill the water. So like put it in the freezer for at least a good half hour, so ice cold. And two, cut it in half with vodka, and your dough will be flaky and buttery, and you won't get any of that excess water in the dough.
So if you need a cup of water, use half a cup of water and half a cup of vodka.
Yeah.
Do you mix it?
Yeah.
I was going to say, my dough is always flaky after I have a few belts of vodka, you know, always flaky, buttery.
Jeff, we have to do like a Jeff makes a pie column. What's good now? Peaches are in season?
Cherries.
Soon? Cherries are now?
Ooh. Yeah.
Peaches are in season. Yes, we have to have you come over to the Castle House to make a pie.
Sure.
Would you do that someday?
Absolutely.
That would be good, right? We do step by step.
Heck yeah.
You do an apple pie. I do, apples is kind of always in and out of season buying, but the best is I do an apple pie with a cheddar crust, and it's awesome. So you take the dough and you use, instead of using as much butter, you use cheddar cheese and like chunks cheddar cheese work it into the dough. And so it takes the place a little bit of the butter, and then you add a little extra, and it's so good. And have you ever had, when I was a kid, I was my first job that wasn't like babysitting or umpiring. I was an umpire, but
because you like to throw dads out of the game.
Exactly. I worked at a Baker Square. I worked in the front Baker Square, and always a thing where old guys would come in and be like, "Can I get a slice of apple pie and then put in a slice of American cheese and melt it on top?"
And you would
or
refuse.
Cheese. Well, no,
you would say no American cheese. I will not on this pie.
Well, I mean, the first time I heard it, I was like, "What the hell?"
Yeah. Yeah.
But I tried it. It's actually very, very good.
Right, sweet and savory, right?
Where are all the Baker Squares? I tell you, they used to be all over the place when I was a kid, and now they're all gone.
No, they went bankrupt. Well, not bankrupt, but they're owned by Vicorp, and then Vicorp essentially shut them down, converted some of them into Red Robins, and then those went under. And then the ones that were locally owned were sold off, like they were able to buy them. So there's one out in Palatine. There's one in Mount Prospect. There's one, actually one up on 2, at like Western and Tui. There's one right there.
If I need to go get a pie. There's only two bakeries I would. One is Weber's Bakery on the southwest side. Mm. That's one of the best bakeries. Or Kirschbaum's Bakery in this tiny little town in the western suburb that I know very well. Okay? So those two. But where would you go for pie since you're not from those areas?
Well, there's, if you're out like the northwest suburbs, there's Central. It's a great bakery. They may have just moved because I haven't been out there in a while, but they were.
Lutz's Bakery, would you go?
I'm not familiar with Lutz. No? I mean, I've heard of it, but I've never, I think I had with desserts brought once.
Because, you know, Will needs to know because like when he's very social and he goes to many events, people's homes, and he likes to bring something, like he brought me limoncello, which is very nice, but he might want to bring a pie, you know?
I was brought up right.
What?
I was brought up
up right. You box and you bring something when you go.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
So Central Bakery?
Central, I forgot, north of suburbs. They don't do pies so much. They're mostly cakes and cookies, but the Swedish Bakery in Andersonville, they've been there since the, like, they do great. Everything from, you know, fancy five-tier wedding cake to delicious cookies.
We're not talking cookies here, man. We're talking pie.
Yeah, pie.
Okay, pie. Big slice of blueberry. I go up to Crane's Orchard in Michigan and bring me some pie, okay? Thank you, Jeff and Will.
We'll get on it.
We'll get on that. So, okay, that's good. That's very interesting.
That's
You're a pie maker. That's good. How about you? What are your hobbies, Will?
Well, it's a good thing you mentioned.
Besides, like, homicide.
Besides.
Which is not a good hobby.
Well, John.
Covering homicide.
John, thank you for asking. I'm not a very complicated man, but I like to say that.
You are so complicated. Anybody who says they're not a complicated man is extremely. Go on.
I like to kick back and, I delve into fantasy, you know, and folklore, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And
I don't wear costumes, though. Do you? I don't think so.
No.
Wait, why did it take you 30 seconds to answer?
That's not. Okay. That was in 30 seconds. The point is, John, is like I delve into fantasy, and for the past couple of months, I've been quite steeped in one particular, world of folklore and fantasy that I am very, very disappointed. I'm very frightened about the end of which is coming. It's approaching us, fastly approaching us.
Did somebody say pie? It's a wonderful day for pie. You can ask all the birds in the sky, and they'll tell you real sweet with a musical tweet.
It's a wonderful day for pie.
For pie.
For pie.
For pie.
For pie.
This is wonderful, Brian. Oh, let's live in this universe.
Gosh, it's pretty intoxicating, isn't it?
I want to hear more music about pie.
It's a wonderful day for pie.
And it smells a lot better than I.
Everyone in the house.
And this Adam West mouse.
The bees making honey.
This Tom Tucker bunny.
We all sing with glee, 'cause we all agree it's a wonderful, wonderful day.
Okay, you guys. I'm singing, and you're not even joining it. It doesn't count now. I'm just the flayed man on the broadcast. But what Will Lee is talking about is Game of Thrones, the last season, which is what I was going to write about.
Currency. They've still got. Make it sound like
the
that.
Last episode, man. What are we supposed to do now?
I don't know. We got one more, but we hashed about this a little bit in our pre-show, pre-meeting, pre-showing.
Because this whole broadcast is like a pre-show.
It's a pre-show to your.
This
column.
Is how we actually. Right. I haven't written.
Right, as I'm saying, it's a pre-show. Then this is the joke is on us or on the listener. No, but spoiler alert, there it is. So the episode last week, the Dueling Bastards, was by far, and we'll talk about this, but one of the best episodes I think ever as far as cinematic quality, suspense, story, and intrigue as far as what we want to see coming up and set up for a finale.
Okay, so Will, what is your review of the Dueling Bastards?
It was an amazing, truly amazing episode, and for very important reason. If you read the books, or even if you're just into the series, a lot of things are referred to past events. You know, you learn of the many various characters who've lived on in, you know, previous times when Ned Stark was a boy or any of these characters happened before. This was one of those times when it's an active sort of history being made. You know, you see, you know, like before you hear about dragons, you know, destroying this and destroying that, you actually see for the first time, you know, our Targaryen on dragonback destroying ships, and you know, and you see a major battle. It's happening actively, and you get to really participate, and it's just the biggest, sweetest payoff for anybody who's really cared about this series.
She comes back from hanging out with their bloodthirsty savages in leather pants. to the town that she's, one of the many towns that she's conquered. And there's Peter Dinklage, the dwarf, Tyrion Lannister, who's playing sort of lately, he's one of my favorite characters, but lately he's been like a Mr. Belvedere of he's like a fussy Mr. Belvedere trying to tell people what to do while she's gone.
He's a softer version of Rahm Emanuel.
So. Oh, I don't know. I think it's more Mr. Belvedere. I told you not to be a slave master, things like that. And she shows up and has her dragons kill all the, destroy the fleet, right?
Right. Well, that, say
oh,
salvage.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Salvage, make an example out of a few of the ships and save the rest for yourself.
And then she jumps
essentially freed another group of slaves
because right.
she killed their leaders and said, hey, listen, tell the rest of your leaders that if you don't fall in line, dragons are going to eat you for lunch.
And we know that in the other part of the thing, show that you guys loved, which was the epic battle between the Boltons and the Snows, that are not Snows, the Starks.
Starks.
That there's a phalanx, and the phalanx was destroying the wild fighters. And then here come the cavalry to destroy them, rolling them up in perfect, almost like you were designing it for one of my favorite computer games, which is Rome Total War, right? Where you get the cavalry to come around. And
sure.
It's good. However, that's last week, guys. I know we love last week, but the episode that airs Sunday is the last one of the season.
I know.
What the bleep are people supposed to do? I put this out on Facebook. One woman wrote, what are you going to do? She goes, I am going to drink and no thanks. But what drink are you going to do?
It's one of those, it's a terrible thing to have to think about because it's, you know.
We need our fantasy.
We don't know when the books are coming out. Like, it'd be different if we knew when George R. R. Martin.
Is he ever going to write one again?
He keeps feeding them out on his website. You know, oh, here's a little bit of this chapter. There's a little bit of this chapter. And right now we're beyond the books. The stories are off the grid, so we have no idea.
The producers of the show waited for him to finish a book. He told us in our great line. Lunch, an epic lunch with George Martin, you and I.
Last November,
that, and we will always, the memory of that shall always be eternal as well, that he was having trouble writing. Well, they decided we're going to have to produce this show without him,
right.
without his book. So
right,
they took over. Now, I don't know how he can come back into it. I think he's just got to go away, George.
He's still advising, though, isn't he? I mean,
doesn't matter. He's a writer, isn't he?
Well, yeah, but he can.
I don't let anyone write my column for me.
No,
and then come back.
He's not going to be able to. He's not going to match what they're doing. But he's still advising them on some of the aspects of it, so that it's not completely foregone from what he would write.
How is he supposed to write?
I know.
The rest of it, when it's already happened in the minds of all his fans.
I know. That's a mistake on his part. I mean, I think he's kind of blown it in that regard. I mean, look at that. We talked about this before, but you know that series that they did, True Blood, that HBO did, and that was based on books, and then they got past the books and then wrote on their own, did their own copy on it, and it was.
Is that something about a vampire that falls in love with a hot girl from high school?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, didn't see that.
No, you didn't miss much. The first, like, I watched the first couple seasons, and it was cool because it was, you know, it was all mythology and
vampires getting married. In church and stuff?
No, not in church.
Oh, that was the other one.
Yeah, that was Twilight. Yeah, that was sparkly vampires.
Sparkly vampires getting married in church.
But anyway, but
what was it, like a Unitarian church or something?
I think it was like a bombed out church.
Yeah, bombed out church.
Yeah. But they wrote beyond it. And
no offense, Unitarians.
No, absolutely. Right. But yeah, they made it too weird, and I was worried about that this season. But they seem to have done a pretty good job. And Will's read the books. I haven't read the books, but Will knows better than I.
He's spoiled for himself. Will.
Wow.
He's actually pathetic in this regard.
Oh,
my friend Will.
He's
so worried. Here's the secret of Will. He's so worried that he's going to not know what's going to happen. That he read all the books. You spoiled it for yourself.
Well, here's the thing. You gotta
admit it. You're my friend.
You got to keep in mind, we've gotten a weird, everything's gotten very meta now. So what we have is, since we're beyond the books, what happens every week now, and you know, if you look on the internet, you can easily find it. You have people who read the books who take the time, who break down each trailer trying to figure
out.
And then they have some theories have actually come out, come to pass.
Like?
But now, for example, the idea of...
see how he knows this stuff?
I'm trying to remember which theory, because there were a few, like perhaps the Hodor. Someone actually guessed
Hodor.
Hodor.
I need that shirt.
Right.
You know that shirt? I saw it. It's a black T-shirt, orange letters, Hodor, in quotes, and underneath it's like Hodor, you know, small Hodor. Like Hodor wrote this.
Right.
It was Hodor's statement,
right.
Like his byline.
So that's where we are now. So now people are guessing these things, and sometimes they're on it and sometimes they're not. They're using their book knowledge of it.
But that doesn't explain to me why you felt compelled to read all the books before, so that you would pre-spoil for yourself the show.
Well, you really, you don't want to, I don't know. I'm one of those people, I don't want my emotions to be played with by the, you know, because...
You can't stand being manipulated.
Well, because these are TV writers, you have to keep in mind. You know, like you and I, John, you and I were talking about one of the online theories about Sansa being pregnant or something like that.
Okay.
Which is just a theory. It's just a theory.
No.
What did he say?
Now,
I'm in you. I'm part of you.
This is the creepy... Flayer, Ramsey apple boy, eating the green apple and stabbing the woman in the neck, right?
Yeah.
And he says...
Ramsey Bolton. Right?
Ramsey Bolton, the flayer, the bastard, the evil torturer,
which
remover of the special purpose of Theon Greyjoy, sending it to his father in a box. This is how creepy he is. And he says to her, to Sansa, his wife, I am always going to be in, I'm in you now or
I'm
something.
I'm part of you.
I'm a part of you. What does this mean?
Right.
Preggers, as they say in Britain, no?
Yeah, and she, I don't know, I mean, I think, I've thought that too. She looks like she's a little, you know, they've kind of made
does
her look more motherly. Yeah.
Does she have a certain glow, Will? We'll check in the website right now.
Well, that's the thing about it, and that's my concern, because this, like I said, these are television writers. So even though in the book she's not anywhere, she's not even connected to
Ramsay
like Bolton.
She's like 15 in the book, right?
Right. Well, yeah, they're all...
For God's sake, she's like 25, 30 in this show.
Right. Well, they're all teenagers, like even Jon Snow. But because this is television, you want to ramp it up, the human emotion. That's when they do something like this. It could totally happen because it's TV. You know?
What would she do?
She would kill it.
She would abort the child?
She would give birth to it, and then she would kill it. Mercy killing.
But that would be part of her own flesh.
But it would also be part of his, and she wouldn't allow it.
Or maybe someone else wouldn't allow it, like her.
No, not her. She's cutthroat.
She is totally cutthroat now, isn't she?
Yeah, she's...
I guess one of the lines of the themes of the... I'm sucked into the... We're doing it too now. The whole Game of Thrones analysis that everyone
right,
does.
Exactly.
And she was this girl who believed in fairy tales and the Prince Charming, and now believes no one can protect anyone.
Right. Well, that's the beauty, and you know, John, seeing my other half, that's the thing she always takes away from this show is, you know, you talk about the Kingslayer and Jon Snow and the
breasts and so forth.
Well, I like that too, but how these guys are these, you know, you think all these macho guys and all these killers, the women who control and hold all the power in this story, the series. Are women.
This is a feminist fantasy.
It really is. I mean,
the men are vain, weak, or inept and must be rescued by women.
Always.
Women are the heroic figures
always.
In this.
The Red Witch, Sansa, Daenerys, I mean...
Cersei,
Arya. I mean, these are all people who hold power down to my favorite female knight...
Brienne of Tarth.
Exactly.
Ooh, is she hot. She is awesome. She has fallen deeply in love with Kingslayer, has she not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it made him question his love for his own sister.
His own incestuous.
Yeah, exactly.
My God, what are we talking about?
I know, it's
I'm
amazing.
A journalist. What? Yeah, I know, but still, this is just show is so compelling. So what do we do at the end? Now that the season is over, what kind of fantasies will we engage in to replace it with?
Ugh, I can't think. And this is why
there's got to be something.
There's nothing. The Cubs or the White Sox?
That's not a fantasy. The Sox
White
are
Sox
not,
are a fantasy.
They're not a fantasy. They're a nightmare. how about, like, if we believe, maybe we can have a fantasy that we could have a country that can have a debt that's in the trillions upon trillions of dollars with no way of paying it off, and the republic will survive.
Oh,
how's that for a fantasy?
The republic will survive, John. We're armed.
How about a fantasy that Hillary Clinton will be a trustworthy, honorable president?
How about a fantasy where Donald Trump will be able to outraise Hillary Clinton?
That's a total fantasy.
Or Bernie Sanders, who's got him, got Donald Trump outraised 100 to 1, 100 and almost 200 to 1.
What does that tell you about politics? Does it tell you that the Republicans want Donald Trump to lose? They want Hillary to win, correct?
Well, if you keep talking about how much money you have, eventually you won't have anyone giving you any.
Let me ask you this, both of us, okay? I'm going to put you on the spot. The CIA director, Brennan, I did this in a column last week. You know, they're all talking about gun control. This will save us. Gun control will save us. Orlando, gun control. It's the guns. Which is all about protecting Hillary. And then Brennan, the CIA, says, at the end, during the middle of this debate, is testifying saying, ISIS is stronger than it was. The efforts to degrade it have failed. They will begin attacks on the West. And they will use immigration. They will emigrate. They send their soldiers, their war fighters into Western countries to create guerrilla attacks. I assume that means us too, because we're a Western country. Where is that story?
Well, he didn't clarify that they are stronger than they were. He said that their ability abroad is going to become more amplified.
He said that the efforts to degrade them did not work as they had hoped.
Right, as they had hoped.
So that's semantics. They're still strong, in other words.
Right, exactly. But I think, I don't know, and this is what I've seen from a couple of different people, but including Congressman Adam Kinzinger,
Adam.
Yeah, and this is that.
But
this,
we differ on a lot.
Yeah,
of
which is, yeah. which I mean, he's that's his thing, I like him too. But the whole ISIS Syria front is his favorite. That's his home
court.
That's
his baby, right.
He has, from his intel, has seen that their strongholds in Iraq and Syria have been diminished, and their ability to operate within their own communities is completely disintegrated as far as it was.
But they're morphing.
But they're morphing, exactly. Now they've moved essentially entirely online for their offensive maneuvers. Mm-hmm. And so they are going after people in the West on their home front, and they're amping up people. The people they've been calling to say, hey, listen to us. We're the future. Now's your time to act. We are in a time where we need you to act, and it needs to be now.
But my question, if Trump, and to both of you again, and that's a good, by the way, thank you, that's a good backgrounder. But the question, Trump says, let's not have immigration from countries, from Muslim nations that are problematic.
Right.
Right? That's his final change.
Right.
Right? Which seems to be somewhat logical and consistent.
State sponsors of terror, which is
right.
41 countries.
Now, and given what Brennan said about the ISIS using immigration to send their fighters into the West, Will Lee, sure. And Jeff, Will first, is Trump right or wrong?
Oh, he's wrong.
Well, he's wrong because it's...
Because he's Trump.
Well, no. You can't make everyone pay because of what the actions of some fighters would be. That's the whole thing. You're changing... We're changing who we are because we're afraid.
Wait a second. He's saying... He and other Republicans are saying, which is exactly what Mr. Brennan is saying from Obama's own administration.
Sure.
And James Comey from Obama's administration and others from Homeland Security have said, we cannot vet these people properly, immigrants. Why would you want immigration from countries that the CIA is saying will be used, will be infiltrated by ISIS fighters? I'm not saying yes or no. I'm asking you guys.
I'm with Will on this. It's wrong. And it's wrong,
because.
And it's for the wrong for the very same reason it's wrong to try to restrain the Second Amendment. You know, this country is built on people being allowed to come into our country to seek a better future. And to say, oh, well, we're going to withhold that, we're going to slow that down because we're afraid, is the same reason you would say, well, we're going to stop letting people have guns because we're afraid.
Because you're on the no-fly list?
Yeah, because we're afraid of violence. And it's people are making the same logical argument on both sides, and you can't do that. If you want to say that this country is founded on principles and we need to abide by those principles, then they should be allowed to come in. And they should be everyone in America should be allowed to get as many guns as they want.
But should not the nation decide who comes in or not?
Well, who's the nation? And that's the whole thing.
You are the nation.
Well, you said it's about what we want. It's not about what we want. If we waited for what people wanted, you know, what groups of people wanted, then no one would be here. It's not about what you want as a citizen. It's about that person saying, I need to come to America because I want to have a better life. And if they're willing to come here, then they should be.
But you can't. I'm an immigrant. I have some knowledge of this. Mm-hmm. You have to abide by certain rules to come here.
Sure.
You have to. I'm not even going to get into the whole what my dad had to do as opposed to today.
Sure.
Where you had to swear an oath that you would fight the country of your birth. That's what the judges used to do. So my dad, who just put down a rifle after 20 years of killing people in different wars, World War II, against the Germans, the Italians, and the communists, had to say, oh, by the way, yeah, I'll just go kill the same people I was fighting for 20 years. Now, that's hard. We don't do that now. But I'm just saying, what do you make of Brennan's comment? Then? We just ignore it?
No, yeah. I think...
We don't take that in consideration when we're making policy?
Well, no. Of course you take into policy, and that's why you're supposed to, you know, the people who are on the ground, people who are responsible for, you know, immigration and that sort of thing, they're supposed to, you know, tighten up their securities for things that, for the information, for the intelligence we're getting. But if the question is about, you know, what do we as American citizens, you know, what do we want, it's immaterial. It's about, you know, it's about
it's
allowing...
It's not immaterial because you are a citizen. Therefore, you have a say.
I have a say, but that doesn't mean...
We're not like...
There's a difference between having a say. There's a difference between having a say and saying that we should change our policy to keep these people out because we're afraid. That's what we're talking about.
So we should keep the doors open. I haven't decided. I'm just asking. So we should keep the doors open, immigration doors, even though the CIA is saying ISIS will use that immigration door to send fighters into the West, kill people.
And then
who's going to point their fingers?
We don't bring in that many people annually to be a problem where we can't track them. We can't follow them. We can't say, hey, you know what? Welcome to our country. You're going to be followed.
Have a chip in your head.
No, and that's right. An extreme example. But we follow people anyway. We follow where you register a car, where you register an address, where you register a bank account. The government knows about it. And you know what? You're going to be followed. That's what happened when we're worried about people coming in. But to shut down the doors and say, nope, nobody can be allowed because we don't know what we're doing. We do know what we're doing. And to try to suspend the American principle because of fear is the exact same reason people are saying, well, we can't suspend the Second Amendment because we're afraid.
Interesting. Well, we'll see, because my belief is that and again, I have not made a decision. I'm just pointing it out. I'm pointing out the inconsistencies because that's what I do. I have my own view. I think I take the more prudent view. Actually, I would probably want to stop immigration of all kinds at all, you know, all of it, okay, for about 3 years. No immigration at all from anyone. and let's get our house in order here, right? But that's just me.
And Jim, before we wrap up here, the whole Orlando thing. This guy is there's two sides to it. Either this guy was a mentally unstable guy who hated himself because he himself was gay and was shunned by Puerto Ricans, or he was really an Islamic radical.
See, I think men, people are complicated.
Absolutely.
And I don't tend to go with the one or the other.
Sure. I don't, from what I've seen, this is just what I've seen, I don't think he was a wannabe. I don't think he was an Islamic
radical.
That's
the danger. But those are the danger ones.
Yeah.
That's why what you said earlier about what ISIS is doing now on the internet.
Right.
This is what they're trying, this is what they want. Who else would kill 49 people but a deranged weirdo?
Yeah, it has nothing to do with ISIS directly. It has nothing to do with immigration. It has nothing to do with gun control. It has to do with freedom. He was free in this country to do whatever he wanted. And what he wanted was to legally obtain guns and kill a lot of people. And you know what? Because we are a republic that bases ourselves on freedom and freedom to do what we want, that's a reality we're going to have to face for the rest of our existence. And people who want to turn into a political theater is BS. This has nothing to do with any politics. This has to do with the freedom of America to be able to do what you want when you want to do it. And you know what? Sometimes it stings.
Jeff accepts the slaughter of the 49 as part of the price of freedom.
You know, I learned a lot. I was working with you when the Newtown Massacre happened.
Yeah.
And I remember you writing the column, the first column you wrote about it was a little boy covering his hands at the horror of what happened. And, you know, of course, I've grown up on the south side of Chicago. Having said that, I probably look at things racially and all of that sort of way.
Sorry, that's your own pathology.
Just as a gut reaction.
Right.
But, you know, all of those victims in Newtown were like young white children and teachers and all that. And that couldn't get anything done. That couldn't get anything changed. No laws changed because of that, except for the local rules that they did that. Now, I say that just to say, you know, and I say this a little bit sardonically, but it's, you know, if white kids are not going to get laws changed, then what will?
You mean white victim kids?
Right, exactly. That didn't get anything done. And
I think you're looking at it the wrong way. No offense, but I do. I think I understand the point you're making, and it's a valid one, that white people are the majority still for right now, for the next 5 minutes, and therefore, you know, they should be reacting to this tragedy town and doing something. Jeff says doing something doesn't do anything, and it just takes away our freedom. Correct, Jeff?
Mm-hmm.
I tend to agree. I don't think that you can legislate the Newton weirdo or this weirdo with the, right? You can't
Colorado.
Stop it. And to tell people if we just got rid of assault weapons aren't the problem. The problem is Democrats want to take the Second Amendment eviscerate. Republicans want to protect it. We have a problem with guns. So why don't we do this? If you're caught with a gun illegally doing a crime, you go to prison for 5 to 10 years, mandatory minimum.
Yeah.
How about that? And I'll put you in, I'll make Sheriff Arpaio the sheriff of the gun prison. And you can live in a tent and eat bologna sandwiches for 5 years, dude.
No thanks. That guy needs to be in prison instead of actually
running. But what I'm saying is somebody, you have a gun on the street of Chicago. If you're a kid, you're a young man on the street of Chicago, you're an African-American or Latino, meaning you're living in a neighborhood. There's really, I mean, there are two or three districts where all the shootings, like 11 and so forth, 7 and so forth.
But there's only one state where the guns are coming from.
What?
Indiana.
We have a lot of guns in the suburbs, everybody. Right. Just want to tell you. A lot of guns in the suburbs. Guess what? Suburbs are not killing everybody.
Well,
we're not going crazy shooting everybody.
That's a cultural difference, too.
It's a criminal difference. There are great people in bad neighborhoods who are subject to the depredations of the criminal element in their, and we have to protect them, because otherwise Will's column will come true, the one he wrote. How long ago was that now?
It was in March.
In March? Mm-hmm. And everyone will be gone. But right now, we have to be gone. So, another edition of the Chicago Way. Will Lee, Mr. Game of Thrones himself, and Jeff Carlin, Mr. Constitution.
Constitutional and pie baker.
Pie baker. And me, John Cass, thanks for joining us. Thanks for being part of this rap session, because this is how journalists talk before they sit down to write, and now I have to go and write. So see you next week.